Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14.15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study. I've never done a search to see how many times the word God appears in the Old Testament versus the Lord, but I'm sure the Lord appears so many more times. Look at Exodus 39, verse 30. On the plate, the crown of the high priest says, Kadosh L'Adonai, holiness to the Lord. Verse 31, and they tied it to a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban as the Lord had commanded Moses. Exodus 40, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, that's enough. You see it all over the scripture. So to say, Israel was the bride of God and the church is the bride of Yeshua is to misunderstand who Yeshua is, in my opinion. Did that exhaust the questions? Because we still have a little time for 1 Kings.
Well, don't they like to use that verse saying that Yeshua is the head of the church?
I don't know. I'm sure there are people who do. Okay. Let's turn to Revelation 19 one more time.
There's no reason to do a half-hour teaching on 1 Kings.
Yeah, there is. Unless there's more questions. Okay. Revelation 19 is the return of the Lord, right? Everybody realizes that, Revelation 19, 11 and following. But how does Revelation 19 begin? Verse 1, after these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. Where are they? In heaven. Messiah hasn't returned yet. In heaven saying, Alleluia. Wait a minute, what's Alleluia? It's Hallelujah transliterated to Greek. Why would you transliterate a Hebrew word to Greek if the original is written in Greek? Wouldn't you just use a Greek word? But the original is Hebrew. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord, our God. The Lord is God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot. That's the false religious system that goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel, who corrupted the earth with her fornication, that is idolatry and false doctrine. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. And they said again, Alleluia. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great, which means both young and old. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. So where is the bride? In heaven. And Messiah hasn't returned in Revelation 19:11 yet. Verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him. He said, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Yeshua. So the one revealing this to John in heaven is one of the raptured and resurrected saints. He says, And if your brethren have the testimony of Yeshua, worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. And then in verse 11, heaven opens. Here comes the white horse. Here comes Messiah with the bride. as we saw in Zechariah 14. And there's the Battle of Armageddon. What's missing from Revelation 19, 11 and following? Does it say in verse 7, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And when he gets almost to the earth, he sounds a trumpet and shouts for the bride to be raptured and resurrected to join him in the last half mile of his journey." Doesn't say that, does it? The bride was already in heaven. Okay, enough said. Let us go now to 1 Kings.
Question, Ryan?
Let us not go to 1 Kings. Let's answer questions. What's your question?
One question?
No, and many questions as you like. I love questions.
39.
One more time. Where's that scripture? What?
Matthew 23:39. "For I say to you, in no way shall you see me from now on until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Yes.
So, does that mean at that time every single believer in Messiah who's Jewish needs to say that at once, or will it be a matter for a government of the day to declare it and they then speak for the people?
Okay, go to Matthew chapter 23. We'll look at verses 37 to 39. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her." What prophets is Messiah talking about?
Isaiah.
All the prophets down through the ages, Isaiah, Jeremiah, etc. What happened to Isaiah?
He got
put into a log and had the log was sawn in half, and that's how he died. Yep. "How often I wanted to gather your children together." So who sent the prophets? The Lord did, Yeshua did. "As a hen gathered chicks on her wings, but you're not willing, see, your house is left to you desolate." That means the temple's going to be destroyed. "For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" What that verse means, Marco, is that when the Jewish people in Jerusalem become believers in mass, when Romans 11:26 is fulfilled, and all Israel shall be saved, that's when Messiah will return. So until all Israel gets saved, Messiah is not returning. It happens at the Battle of Gog and Magog, about the middle, just before the middle of the tribulation period. Let's go back and look at it. Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 describes the Battle of Gog and Magog. Many theologians who teach prophecy say we don't know when Ezekiel 38 will come to take place, whether it's before the tribulation, during, after, who knows. But there are signs in it that let us know it takes place during the tribulation period, and it takes place very close to the middle. Have you found chapter 38? Verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying," and verse 21 says, "I," that's the Lord, "will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God." Those mountains are called the Golan. They're the mountains that separate Israel from Syria, that the United Nonsense keeps telling the world belongs to Syria, not Israel. Well, God says different. He says, "Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I'll bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I'll rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I'll be known in the eyes of many nations." It's not just Israel that gets saved. Israel knows this is Ezekiel 38 coming to pass. The United States didn't defeat the invasion. Israel didn't defeat the invasion. God himself did. And it says, "Then they shall know that I am the Lord." The "they" is Israel. So God will then be known by many nations. Many non-Jewish nations are going to realize that the Bible is true and God is real. And they're going to get saved, but so will Israel get saved right here. That's Romans 11:26, and all Israel shall be saved. Why is it important that it takes place very near the midpoint of the tribulation period?
Because that's when the abomination desolation
gets set up. Let's go to, first, the book of Daniel chapter 12, to some prophecy that many people do not understand. So I want to make sure you're not one of them. Daniel chapter 12 at the end. Verse 9, he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed to the time of the end," meaning until we come to the end of this age, right where we are now. These words were just too hard to understand. Verse 11, "From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away." That's referring to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. The false Messiah or Antichrist will stop the offerings and abominations near the midpoint of the tribulation period. From the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination desolation is set up, there should be 1,290 days. How long is the second half of the tribulation period? It's 1,260 days. So this is 30 days before the midpoint that the false Messiah, Antichrist, stops the sacrifice. The daily sacrifice is called what? What's the word? The Amidah. Amidah. And the abomination of desolation set up, there should be 1,290 days. So 30 days before the midpoint, the false Messiah is going to stop the sacrifices, and he's going to set up the abomination of desolation. And let's go to Matthew 24 and see what the Lord said. By the way, the rapture and resurrection are not in Matthew 24 at all. And that's where the post-trib people get confused. They think it is, and it's not. Let's start with verse 1 of chapter 24. We don't need to get to 1 Kings tonight. Chapter 24, verse 1. "Then Yeshua went out and departed from the temple." So two verses earlier, "See, your house is left you desolate," referring to the temple. Where was he when he said that? He was in the temple. That's why the disciples are so confused. He's sitting in the temple saying it's going to be destroyed. So in verse 1, "Then Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. As they're walking toward the Mount of Olives," how do you get to the Mount of Olives from the temple? You go through the eastern gate across the Kidron Valley, otherwise called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is the ascent to the Mount of Olives. Yeshua said to them, "Do you not see all these things?" Talking about the temple and its buildings. Says, "Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." When was that literally fulfilled, those words? 70 AD, 70 Common Era. Why do they tear every stone apart? Because we are going to read next week in 1 Kings about how the entire walls of the temple from the floor to the ceiling were covered in pure gold. And Rome burnt the temple. What happens to gold in a fire? It melts, runs down between the what? Between the stones. So for the soldiers to get that gold, they had to tear the stones apart. That's why there was not one stone left upon another. Verse 3. Yes, ma'am. When they were showing the city of David on TV? Mm-hmm. Okay.
They said the Jewish people that went to the Wailing Wall.
They said the Jewish people who went to the Wailing Wall
were saying that, this wasn't torn down.
Yeah, look at all those stones on the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, that were not torn down. Yeah, what they're forgetting is that Western Wall is not of the temple. That's a restraining wall of the Temple Mount that Herod put up to keep the Temple Mount from collapsing under the weight of the buildings. It's not stones of the temple at all. There's lots of people that think lots of wrong things. True.
In the pictures I've seen of the Wailing Wall, it doesn't appear to be covered in gold.
No. Correct. Not only that, but the stones, before they were covered with gold, were covered with cedar planks because you can't attach the gold to the stones. So they put cedar planks from the floor to the ceiling and then covered that over with gold. That's in 1 Kings next week. Lord willing. Chapter 24, verse 3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? That Greek word is parousia, which means the coming of a king in your kingdom. And of the end of the age. The end of the age is marked by the establishment of the kingdom. So he asked three questions. First, when will the temple be destroyed? But then more importantly, when will you establish your kingdom as king? What did they not ask?
When's the rapture?
When's the rapture of the church?
But isn't the king,
why didn't he tell them? Because they didn't ask.
But isn't the king coronated trumpets? So that
they didn't ask, when will you take your crown? They said, when will you establish your kingdom here?
But so you can be made king without having a kingdom?
His first 7 years he reigns where? In heaven. Then the kingdom comes to Jerusalem. That's the end of the age.
Well, I mean, David was anointed king, but he still ran through the desert hiding from Saul until, God called him.
Well, he was told he'd be the next king,
but
he wasn't next.
But given the time that's left, let's get back to Matthew 24. Please, verse 4. And Yeshua answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Why would he tell them, take heed that no one deceives you? Because there's going to be lots of false teachers trying to deceive people. And the Lord doesn't want them to be deceived. He says, for, because many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. Are there any mention in the book of Acts? There are three mentioned by name in the book of Acts. So from the time of the disciples forward, there have been many coming saying, I'm the Messiah. There's some in the world today claiming to be the Messiah. They're not. Okay. But verse 5 refers to the first seal in the book of Revelation chapter 6. The first seal releases the false Messiah. So the ultimate fulfillment of verse 5 is when the first seal is opened and the rider on the white horse, who is the false Messiah, goes out. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. That's the red horse. The red horse is war, so that's the second seal. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. What is that word, end?
The goal
that they asked for is your kingdom to be established on earth. He said, nope, not yet. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. That's the third and fourth seal. The third one is famine, the fourth one is pestilence. All these are the beginning of sorrows, that is birth pangs. Birth pangs is a term used in the Old and New Testaments for the tribulation period. So these first four seals begin the tribulation period. Verse 9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That's the fifth seal, the martyrs, their souls under the altar. What does the false Messiah want to do but kill anyone who believes in Messiah? Verse 10, and many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound. In 2 Thessalonians 2, what is the false Messiah called? The lawless one. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, what is he going to teach? He's going to try and abolish the what? The Torah and the feasts and the festivals. Because lawlessness will abound. Why will lawlessness abound? Because the false prophets are going to be deceiving many. Love of many will grow cold. That's a verse I've heard several preachers use just this week to describe the riots going on across the country is because of lawlessness, their love is growing cold. That's the fulfillment of this verse. No, it's not. This is in the tribulation period. Verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. What is the end? What is the goal? Messiah coming in the kingdom. Those who have not given in to the false Messiah, have not taken the mark of the beast, have kept their faith in Messiah, they're going to enter into the messianic kingdom alive in their physical bodies. They're the ones who will be having children in the millennial kingdom. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Who's doing that? That's the 144,000. They're taking the gospel to all the world. And then the end will come. There's that word end again, the Greek word telos, which in chapter 24 is the coming of the kingdom, Messiah ruling and reigning throughout eternity future. Therefore, what is therefore? Because all this is going to happen. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, where did Daniel speak of the abomination of desolation? Daniel chapter 12, 1290 days before the tribulation period. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Let me ask this. If the Jewish people were not yet believers in Messiah, would they care that Messiah said flee? No, they care that Messiah said flee because they become believers. When they become believers, they start looking for this abomination of desolation that Daniel said will take place when it's time to run. So whoever reads, let him understand. How many of you grew up in churches and were told, you're forbidden from studying Bible prophecy? Or synagogues. I don't care if it's church or synagogue. Synagogues say the same thing a lot. Yep. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Where in the mountains? That's Petra. Mm-hmm. Let him who's on a housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. So Messiah says, when you see the abomination of desolation set up, that's your sign to run. Because it's 30 days before Satan gets kicked out of heaven in Revelation 12, and it's too late then. So you've got 30 days to get to Petra. Are they going to be able to board airplanes and fly over there? No, they're going to have to run. And it's a long trip from Jerusalem to Petra. Even by bus, it's more than 24 hours. So that's why they got to get going. Well, there's still time. Verse 17.
And verse 15, that's why it can't be. It tells you that it's in the holy place, which is where the temple is, and the temple hasn't been built yet.
Correct. The holy place is the outer room of the temple complex. The Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant is. The holy place is where the menorah is, and the altar of incense and the table of showbread, those kind of things. That's where the abomination of desolation is going to stand. So verse 17, let him who's on a housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who's in the field not go back to get his clothes. Do you see what the emphasis is? Run, run, run. Why? Because when Satan gets kicked out of heaven, it's too late to run. Verse 19, but woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days. Why? Harder to run. Yeah. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Did Messiah not realize the Sabbath was about to be abolished in a few days? No, he did not, because it wasn't and it isn't. For then there will be great tribulation. Great tribulation. When is the great... What's that?
Pastor.
Yes.
I observed in verse 19, woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. Since they cannot run, it is understood that all gonna die?
No, it means pray that you're not in that condition so that you can run more quickly. Yeah, but it doesn't say that.
The question is, since they are pregnant and they cannot die, it is understood that they will all die?
No, I don't understand that. I have a feeling that people are going to help them flee, that they're not going to be left behind, that people are going to help. But it just, it's easier to flee without carrying a bundle of joy in your arms. That's all. So verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation. That's when Satan gets... Yep, that's when Satan gets kicked out of heaven. We'll look at that in a minute if there's still time. But that's the time period. Is the abomination of desolation goes up 30 days before. You're going to have to flee, get to Petra before Satan is kicked out of heaven and it's too late, because I'm going to show you in a minute. But anyway, verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says, you look, here's the Messiah there, do not believe it. In the second half of the tribulation period, Messiah will not be on the earth. He's still in heaven. For false messiahs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand, there if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out, or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together, vultures actually. They're going to be eating the dead people. In verse 29 it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, tribulation period's coming to an end, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. This is Revelation 19:11. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. That's Zechariah 12:10. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. That's with us, with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. A lot of post-tribbers say this is the trumpet that sounds for the rapture and a resurrection, but this isn't the last trumpet. This is the great trumpet. It's the third named trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's not the rapture. That is the second regathering of Isaiah 11:11, gathering the believers that remain on the earth into the messianic kingdom as Messiah takes the throne. Verse 32, now learn this parable from the fig tree. What does the fig tree symbolize? Israel. When the fig tree's branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, you know that it is near at the doors. What is it? The goal. The end. The coming of Messiah to establish the kingdom. Look at Israel. Israel wasn't a nation for almost 2,000 years, but in 48, there you go. Nation born at once. 1967, Jerusalem falls into Jewish hands, and that's when the Messianic Jewish movement exploded and Jewish people started getting saved all over the world. Verse 34, surely I say to you, this generation, the one that sees Israel reborn as a nation, will by no means pass away till all these things take place. That's a window of from 70 years to 80 years after 1948. God gave us a 10-year window. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The King James only, folks, says this means the King James translators were given every word by God himself. That's not what this means. It means that God will perform what he said.
I noticed something here. Pastor, I noticed something here.
What's that?
Verse 34.